We know we're all sinners, but Pastor Ray Bentley points out we sometimes pacify ourselves with half-truths.
We get comforted every day that we read the newspapers of the bad people and the horrible people, and we go, well, I'm not that bad. I'm no Billy Graham. I'm no Mother Teresa. But I'm somewhere safely in this middle, and I feel like I'll be all right. It's a false sense of security.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha. Bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. It may seem that we're not as much of a sinner as the next guy, but today Pastor Ray points out how it takes just one sin to bring judgment on ourselves, but also how Jesus died for us no matter how many sins we may have committed. Good insight on God's grace and mercy. Here's Pastor Ray.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 2. The title of the message is Perfect Judgment. There is a judgment to come that all must face. Beginning in Romans 1:18, if you go back and read it, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then Paul begins to describe in verses 19 through 32 pretty much the ancient, pagan, heathen, idol-worshipping, violent, immoral Roman world. And it would be very easy for those who were religious Jews, or for that matter, religious Gentiles who had come recently to believe in Jesus, to say, that's right, Paul. Go get them. They're bad. I understand the wrath of God being poured out for them. But now Paul takes and he begins to shift, and he moves the gospel toward the hearts of those who feel like they're safe, that they have not done the things mentioned in Romans chapter 1. And I must tell you that recently, God and the Holy Spirit have been working on my heart, even from these verses, to show me that this was written for me. So what I'm going to share with you is what the Holy Spirit has been sharing to me personally. I'm going to let you eavesdrop into what he's been revealing to me and talking to me about. Beginning in verse 1, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O Ray Bentley. Now, that isn't in your Bibles, but it's in mine. Whoever you are that judge, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge do the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O Ray Bentley, that judge them which do such things and do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Paul is asking us a question. As I've mentioned before, many times we think that we come to the Bible for answers. And there are answers in the Bible. But many times, in order to lead us to the answers, God begins with a question. Jesus often began his teachings with either a story or with a question. And the reason that he would tell stories and the reason that he asks questions is he knows our tendency to accept things on only an intellectual level and a head level, and how hard it is to reach the heart. Therefore, he seeks by telling stories and asking questions to get to the root, to the deepest part of us. And here is the question. Do you really agree with God? Do you really agree that the wrath of God needs to be poured out against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men? You say, sure. But you could only say sure if you think that you're not one of the unrighteous or ungodly. How would you feel if, and do you still wholeheartedly clap, cheer, and agree that the wrath of God needs to be poured out when you are included among that group that is both unrighteous and ungodly? It's a little different. I don't feel quite so enthusiastic about the wrath of God being poured out. Do we really agree with God in his assessment of human sin and the need for divine judgment? For before the kingdom of God is established here upon the earth, know this, God's judgment will come. The Bible tells us so. And the major part of the book of Revelation is the judgment against sin and ungodliness and unrighteousness. And we who think that we are above it or beyond it, because I'm a believer, well, that's exactly who Paul is addressing here in Romans chapter 2. Now, my experience has been it's very easy to get your garden variety sinner, even in America, to admit that he or she is a sinner. I don't have a hard time telling people that we've all sinned, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's not a hard sell. Because after all, most people will admit, hey, nobody's perfect. But it's virtually impossible to get someone to realize the gravity, the severity, the seriousness of our own sin. Generally, we have no problem agreeing that those who are guilty of the biggies, murder, rape, deserve judgment and death. However, we're a little uncomfortable with the idea that the wrath of God also will be poured out upon those guilty of the lesser sins, pride, jealousy, anger. And so what we have to do is adjust our vision and say God means what he says and says what he means. Most people do not take God's words about sin and judgment seriously enough. And we have a tendency, without realizing it, we have filters with which we read the Bible. We replace it with our own version of the truth. And if we were really honest about how we see ourselves in the light of God, basically I would say by and large, from my own experience, is that we compare ourselves with other people. We do it all the time. And therefore, we feel like that when God's judgment comes, which we sense, feel, and know will come, we have this false sense of safety because we have this feeling that God will grade on the curve. And that there are certainly, we get comforted every day that we read the newspapers and hear the stories of the bad people and the horrible people, and we go, well, I'm not that bad. I'm no Billy Graham. I'm no Mother Teresa. But I'm somewhere safely in this middle, kind of a mix of good and bad, and I feel like I'll be all right. It's a false sense of security. Our problem is twofold. Number one, we do not understand the holiness of God. And secondly, we don't understand the severity of our own sinfulness. We imagine that God is like us. Let me tell you in very simple, plain English, God is not like us. The very concept of the holiness of God is that God is other than us. You say, but wait, I thought we were made in God's image. That's true, but it's a shattered image. It's a damaged image. It's a fallen image. And our tendency is to make God a bigger manifestation of who we are rather than the other way around. As for sin, we have forgotten that we are made in the image of God, and every sin in my life, whether big or small, communicate a distortion of the image of God to the rest of His creation. And God will have none of it. In other words, it is not enough to be good. We discover the perfection of God's judgment in it, that even the most religious of people, even pastors and missionaries and evangelists and volunteers and Sunday school teachers and elders and ushers and good people and righteous people and Christian people do not fool God. For that matter, even a renewed Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus, who now became a believer in the true identity of Jesus as the Messiah. Paul, I believe, is really revealing what the Holy Spirit had shown him. At one point, he was a very proud man. He said, as pertaining to the law, I was blameless. And so why religious people do not fool God is what these first four verses are about, and that's all we're going to look at very quickly. Four verses, four truths, four principles. And like I say, I'm not preaching to you. I'm really sharing with you what God has revealed to me. And you're just listening in to the conversation that God's been having with me. Number one, the first principle that we learn is this. We do not understand the nature and extent of our own sin. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judge, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you that judge do the same things. I think that one of the biggest problems in the church of Jesus in this 21st century, in the United States of America, is our critical, judgmental attitude toward the world, and the world keeps saying, how dare you judge us when you are guilty of the very same things? Would you agree? We have a problem. And the problem is not with the world. The problem is with us. We keep wanting God to correct America and our democracy and our freedoms and our problems. And God keeps saying, I'm more interested in what's happening in my house of prayer than I am in the White House. I'm knocking on your door. I'm trying to get my own children's attention. You judgmental, critical hypocrites. I need you to listen. The first insight is that we have no clue to the true nature and extent of sin. We think that because we have not committed one of the biggies, that we are beyond judgment. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes to great lengths to tell us that we are all guilty. In other words, he said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you have done it in your heart, you are guilty. In other words, Jesus is saying, there's no difference between the religious people who don't act it out and the non-religious people who do act it out, because the ones who act it out know they've blown it, but the ones who haven't acted it out have still done it, and they're all equally guilty before me. We may not have overtly committed adultery, but it has happened in our heads. So how can we walk around so arrogantly and so proudly? We do not overtly steal, but in our minds we have robbed our friends, our neighbors, our bosses, our fellow employees, for that matter, even our own loved ones. We've never murdered anyone, so surely I'll be safe when judgment comes. But in our minds and in our hearts, with our anger, how many times have we plunged the knife of rage? Oh, we didn't pick up the knife and physically do it. but we did it in our minds, we did it in our hearts, and God sees all of it. He says, you're as guilty. And that's why Jesus kept saying that the murderers and the prostitutes are closer to the kingdom of God, because in God's eyes, they're no better than or worse than the religious people who don't act it out. In fact, they're closer to the kingdom because they're exposed. And you who don't act it out think you're better than they are. But in God's eyes, you are equally guilty. God sees all of this. So the question becomes, what does God want from me? What does God expect of me? Jesus summed it up in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Let's read it out loud together. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus mean what he said? What do you think? Is this a metaphor? Surely this is some spiritual analogy. After all, nobody is perfect. I want to suggest to you to consider the possibility that Jesus meant exactly what he said. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What if he actually meant what he said? What if I don't need to read a commentary because he can't possibly have meant what he said, so I need some secret, deep, hidden meaning to what he really meant? What if he meant exactly what he said? What if God says what he means and means what he says? Be perfect. Well, all of a sudden, I'm in trouble. Even if I think that grading on the curve, well, I haven't done this and I haven't done that, God sees my heart and says, oh yes, you have. In fact, you've done it all, haven't you? I'm in trouble because I'm not perfect. We have a tendency to rename sin. Others lie and cheat. We simply stretch the truth. Others steal. We merely borrowed and we did intend to give it back at the appropriate time. Others are prejudiced. But we merely have convictions. Let me ask you this question. How many sins will keep you out of heaven? One. Which one? The smallest. The least. If you sin once and live the rest of your life perfectly, which no one ever has, and the one sin that you sin was the least of all the sins, you wouldn't get anywhere near the door of the kingdom of God in heaven. The point of the gospel is we're all in trouble, whether we're religious or not, whether we act it out or not. And we ought to have this sense. It's interesting, the gospels talk about the resurrection of Jesus over and over and over again. But Jesus never said, remember my resurrection. That's easy for us to remember. We like that part. What he said to remember was the cross. We have a tendency to forget the cross. If you want a picture of the severity of our sin, the holiness of God, how unyielding, how uncompromising, how demanding his holiness is, look at Jesus, agonizing, writhing with nails in his hands and his feet. Beaten, bloodied, in agony, screaming from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There is a picture of the hatred of God for sin. He did not just wave his hand and say, well, I love you, I pardon you. No. Those sins had to be paid for. Every single sin that shatters the image of God, no matter how big, no matter how small, we as God's children ought to feel it the most. God's children upon the earth should be the most non-judgmental, non-critical, gentle, humble, sensitive creatures on the face of the earth, because we are all guilty. It's not just trumped up charges like it was with Jesus. He was innocent. We actually are guilty of the crimes which have been attached to us, and we're worthy of death. It very literally is as though we were sentenced to death, proven in court, exposed for who we are, rightly and justly given the death sentence. And the sentence being commuted at the last minute, the judge throws down his gavel and says, but wait, I love them, and I'm going to let my son pay their death sentence. I will not commute the sentence. It must be carried out. And only then are they set free. And there's, as it were, the son of the judge, Jesus, who loves us and says, I will pay the price. We ought to walk out of the courtroom of the judgment of God with fear and trembling. Not so arrogant, not so well, or not so bad. Every single one of us ought to walk out shaking. I should have died. And then to watch and to experience, every time you remember the crucifixion, the execution of Jesus Christ should have been me. You should feel that. You should know that. You should sense the payment of what he did for you. It should change your life as well as your attitude, your mind, and your heart. The second principle is found in verse 2, and that is that we, the spiritual and the religious, have an intrinsic blindness to our own faults. Paul says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Well, he's already said in verse 1, when you judge another, you're guilty because you do the same things. So if you believe that God's going to judge the bad people, guess what? God's going to judge you because you've done the same things. The problem is we're blind to our own faults. We cannot see that we are guilty of the same thing we condemn others for. And we are not only blind, but judgmental. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? We are blind and we are judgmental. I believe that hell will be full of judgmental, goody-goody people. Condemnation is the favorite indoor sport of religious phonies. The prayers of such religious phonies are really gossip about others. Oh Lord, I just heard about so-and-so. Horrible. I can't believe they did this. Oh God, I thank you that I've never done that, and I thank you that I am not like them. Welcome to the club of the Pharisees. God is not fooled.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with insights on the right attitude toward sin and the right attitude toward our Savior. Important study from the book of Romans today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Perfect Judgment, and we can send it to you for just $7. Again, the message title is Perfect Judgment. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave. The Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy. Son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.